How's it sound to you? Sounds a little echoey. You can hear it, but it's... Maybe it needs to be adjusted somewhere. I don't know. All right, good to see each and every one of you tonight. We doing okay? Amen. It's starting to get hot, isn't it? Yeah, I'm missing that rain. That rain was nice, and then no rain today. Got a bit. Did anybody get any rain last night? Well, there was a big rain come across spring. Big rain. We didn't get any over here. I was driving home. I was like, I want to see the rain. I want to see the rain. Didn't have any rain. That's all right. We'll get some more, hopefully. Amen?
Amen.
Got to have some more rain. That's right. Any praises or testimonies tonight?
Anything?
Todd is much better.
So
them ribs are coming together. Amen. Bob?
Yeah, I was at Whataburger at their 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is, drive through a window, and a guy there named Brandon. It was interesting. You know, there's nobody behind me, so we sat there. We talked about Jesus for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, amen. That's great, Bob. That goes right along with what we're talking about tonight. And that's remembering where we've come. Amen? Remembering where we've come. Good to see Bob tonight, isn't it? Amen? Yeah. That's right. How many days were you in the hospital, Bob?
Well, it was just a day and a half. But, you know, like I said, with my blood situation, it's like going to a filling station.
Yeah.
Just top it off and away you go.
Top it off and away you go, man.
Yeah.
Amen. Anything else? Praises, testimonies. Yes, sir, in the back.
I've made this testimony before, but it's an ongoing thing.
Make it again, brother.
And I keep going out of town, and we go out of town quite a bit.
Right.
And we always say a prayer before we go.
Yeah.
And we try to thank the Lord when we come back. I know I do. But the thing is, we pray, and He answers our prayers. When it goes to traffic,
amen.
We're always protected.
Right. There you go. Amen, buddy. That's good. That's good. Yes, ma'am.
We had a good Bible study last night. We didn't have enough room at the table, so that's always a good.
Okay. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Miss Sandra?
I have a new daughter-in-law.
A new daughter-in-law?
She got married Friday night.
Okay.
She's a nurse practitioner, so
we'll come in. Okay. Amen. That's great.
90 years old.
Wow. Praise God. I thought I saw another hand swing up over here. Anything over here? Anything else? All right. Okay, here we go. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 4. I invite you to stand with me in the reading of the inerrant word of God, Joshua chapter 4. We'll begin it in verse 1 and read it through verse 7. Joshua 4. 1 through 7. Anything coming out of the monitors? No? Over here, it's coming out of the speaker. Nothing out of the monitor? Nothing. Okay. Hello? Hello? Are you sure they're not coming out of the monitors?
No, I've got power to.
Talk?
There shouldn't be any fuss at all.
Shouldn't be anything, huh?
No, they're powered off.
Okay. Well, maybe the mains are just real hot. I don't know. All right, Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God reads this. 4:1, Joshua, you found it?
Amen.
Amen. The Word of God reads this. Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you will say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy and inerrant word. Be with us tonight, Lord, as we go through this chapter and try to get some things out of it and into our hearts. And Lord, we pray that we'd be washed by your word, Lord, that we would be set back on a narrow path if we're not on it. And Lord, you would just help us think about the big moments that you have come through for us as individuals, the big moments where you have come through for us as a couple, the big moments where you have come through for us as a church. And Lord, may we just rejoice in the big moments of biblical history tonight. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for setting us apart for this time here this evening. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to pick it up here in verse 8. Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. For the priests who carried the Ark were standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed. And when all the people had finished crossing, the Ark of the Lord and the priests crossed before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over in battle array before the sons of Israel, just as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 equipped for war crossed for battle before the Lord to the desert plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel so that they revered him just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life. Now the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests who carry the Ark of the Testimony that they come up from the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. It came about when the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come up from the middle of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up to the dry ground, and the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and went over all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. He said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know. This is so vitally important, this last verse. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Amen?
Amen.
Well, the day finally came for the Israelites to finally move out of the desert across the Jordan into the land of Canaan. They waited for this moment an excruciating long time. Most of the Israelites were born in the desert as part of that new generation that replaced the disobedient generation that refused to trust God for the conquest years earlier. Joshua and Caleb, though, they had waited even longer. We said last week that these men were about 80 years old. And they had been waiting for the conquest for most of their lives. God had promised this conquest to Abraham more than 500 years earlier, as Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 through 21 records. That promise in the book of Beginnings was repeated to the patriarchs for centuries, over and over again. I'm giving you the land. I'm promising you this blessing. You're going to have it one day. Properly considered, there was half a millennium of fervent anticipation, and now the moment was here. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, as we said last week, kind of gives us the energy. Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do what?" What will the Lord do? My Bible says wonders. Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. That's kind of the energy of the moment. We talked about how this is a long narrative. I mean, we've just read 24 verses, and that's just, we're in the middle. We began this last week with chapter 3, and we'll finish it up next time we get together on this, talking about chapter 5. But those are these three chapters, that's the culmination of them crossing that river going into the promised land. Last time we talked about the Ark of the Covenant, and we kind of gave a lot of background about that. But the point is that God is what, man? God is here. God is with us. God is leading us. God is protecting us. God is for us. Amen?
Amen.
When we look at this thing tonight, this passage tonight, chapter 4, verses 1 through 24, we see this wonderful testimony of the memorial stones taken from the river. Taken from the river. The second event connected with the crossing of the Jordan River. The first event is that ark stepping out into the water. The second event connected with the crossing of the Jordan River was the placement and establishment of the memorial stones taken from that river Jordan in verses 4 through 7. Now, we'll look at one more event in chapter 5, and what is that? That's reestablishing the covenant through the sign of circumcision. Now, that's next time we get together. We'll look at chapter 5 and talk about that. But the question frequently comes up when we study Joshua chapter 4, when it's studied in its context. The question frequently comes up when this passage is read and studied as to whether there are two memorials that Joshua set up, or is there one memorial? And the question comes up when you look at chapter 4, verse 9. Look at that with me. So then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they were there, and they are there to this day. Now, one or two memorials. It's really kind of a moot point for our study this evening. We will only be focusing on the memorial on dry ground. Well, Pastor, what do you think? Do you think there were really two memorials? Yeah, I think there were two memorials. Okay. But the one that we're focusing on, the one that starts in chapter 3 about the 12 guys and continues on in chapter 4, get the 12 guys together and get the stones, and continues on through chapter 4 and put the stones in Gilgal, that's the memorial that I want us to focus on tonight. Amen? Whether there was one memorial or two memorials, the point of the action of the memorial or memorials was the same. Does that make sense? Amen? Now, the problem is, when it's harvest time, the memorial in the middle of the Jordan, you ain't going to see. But whether if it's harvest time or not, you're going to see the memorial at Gilgal. Amen? Because at harvest time, the Jordan floods and those 12 stones in the middle would be covered up. This is what the point I'm trying to make. So, the people needed a memorial because why? Because like ourselves, they tended to forget the goodness and the mighty acts of God on their behalf. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like us? See, the story gives three specific reasons for this memorial. Three specific reasons why they needed a memorial. Three specific reasons why we need memorials. Number one, the generation of people that was entering the land to conquer needed a memorial. They needed the memorial. We need memorials. The road ahead for these people, these Hebrews, these Israelites, these Jews, the road ahead would be hard. And there would be times when they would become discouraged. You ever been there? Ever been discouraged? Right? The text refers to this generation in verses 5 through 6 of chapter 4. And Joshua said to them, "Cross again to the ark of the Lord, your God, into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask later, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' you'll be able to tell them." By returning to Gilgal, where the stones ended up, on a regular basis, as the Hebrews, the Israelites, the Jewish people did, why did they keep going back to Gilgal? Gilgal was their base of operations. By returning to Gilgal, they would see the stones and be reminded of the power and faithfulness of the great God who was with them, leading them in their conquest. Now, we observe a certain assumption operating in chapter 4, namely that the greatest enemy of faith, the greatest enemy of faith, are you ready for this? The greatest enemy of faith may be forgetfulness. The greatest enemy of our faith may be forgetfulness. Might you agree with that? It happens in marriages all the time. The real threat may not be infidelity, but simply a slow process of forgetting and a gradual failure to remember the preciousness of the person you're married to. So Joshua says, you must remember what Yahweh has done. You must remember what Jehovah has done. You must remember what God has done. And these stones are to serve as a visual aid to that end. The testimony of the memorial stones taken from the river. The generation that was entering the land to conquer it needed a memorial. But secondly, the second reason, the generation to come after them would need this memorial, since children easily forget the faith and instruction of their parents. Have you ever wondered why that is? They easily forget. I remind mine that he's getting ready to leave the house and going off to college and everything, and we'll have these conversations, and it comes up more than once. I tell her, I said, don't become a godless pagan. I go, don't become a godless pagan. You become a godless pagan, you give indication you've never had God in the first place. Don't become a godless pagan. Oh, I'm not, Daddy, I'm not going to be. Okay, just listen. Don't become a godless pagan. Find a good church. Bible preaching, Jesus-loving church. I don't care if they wear sandals. I care that the guy's bald-headed or has hair, but I really don't care. But if they're preaching the Word of God and they love Christ, hook on into that deal. Amen? Somehow, somewhere, right? This reason is emphasized that children often forget the faith and instruction of their parents. This reason is emphasized in the story at the beginning of the chapter in verses 6 through 7. Let this be a sign among you, chapter 4, verse 6. So that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say, verse 7, then you shall say to them, because of the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Forever. And then in 21 through 23, it takes us back through it. The reason's emphasized twice in the chapter. It's important. See, the 12 stones were meant to provide occasions for teaching, for impressing upon the next generation Yahweh, Jehovah, God's mighty act at the Jordan. I mean, you can almost kind of see it, can't you? 15 years post-Jordan, they're in the Jordan, or they're in the land of Canaan. They're eradicating the pagan foe and people out of the land. 15 years post-crossing the Jordan, an Israelite father and his six-year-old son are strolling through Gilgal National Park. Gilgal National Park. And the lad spots an imposing pile of stones. He sees off in the distance, and then he runs up to him, and he counts 12, and he asks, "Hey, Daddy, what are those stones for? Because we've got 12 tribes, and I see 12 stones." Well, the son's curiosity now becomes the occasion for communicating to him the news of Israel's outstanding God. Outstanding God. And he unleashed, how he unleashed his power for his people. Amen?
Amen?
Here as well as elsewhere in the law, the people are reminded to tell their children of God's mighty acts and past history so that the children might not forget and might remain faithful to their parents' God. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 with me, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's 20 verses. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 20. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. "All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall," my Bible says, "remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not," my Bible says, "forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint in the wilderness. He fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, 'My power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth.' But you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God." I think Deuteronomy chapter 8 kind of spells it out for us. Direct cross-reference to Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 24. Remembering is very important. I mean, we tell our kids about family heritage, and we tell our kids about where we've come from, and we tell our kids about all this other stuff and about what we're leaving them and about our genetic makeup and what you might struggle with when you get later on in life. But what about telling them over and over again and reminding them twice a year or four times a year, reminding them who we are in Christ? Amen? And where we've come from. And what kind of bonehead we were before we got saved. Amen? And how God's delivered us from that. Amen? Hey, Daddy, what are those stones for? The testimony of the memorial stone taken from the river. Three reasons. Number one, the generation that was entering the land to conquer it needed a memorial. Number two, the generation to come would need this memorial since children easily forget the faith and instruction of their parents. Number three, the peoples of the earth, the Gentiles, the rest of us of the earth needed the memorial as a testimony to the existence and the nature of the one true God. Amen? Verse 24, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Francis Schaeffer says, the stones were to tell the other nations around about that this God is different. He really exists. He is a living God, a God of real power who is imminent in the world. Now what does Francis Schaeffer mean by imminent? What does that word mean, imminent? God is here. God is here operating right now. He's here. He's present right now, right here, right working for us. Amen? He's working here for the interest of humanity. Yes, the Jews are His chosen people. But He's wanting to bless all the people through the Jews. He's wanting to bring the Messiah through them. Amen? He's wanting to bring salvation, the Messiah, salvation through them. Praise God. Well, there's an implication here in this passage before we get into our prayer time that I want us to cover. And that's this. If Yahweh, if Jehovah, if God Almighty so insists, He's so insistent that Israel remember this day that you're crossing the Jordan, going into Canaan land, the day where the priests step into the Jordan at flood stage and it's dried up and they stand in the middle and everybody passes on around them, before them, and goes in, and then they walk to the edge, and as soon as they get where dry land was and they step onto that dry land, boom, the water comes back. If Yahweh so insists that Israel remember this great day, as our passage states, then the implication is that this event is a unique event. And God does not usually work with such visibly raw, unadulterated, out there in front of everybody, power. God doesn't work like that every fifth Wednesday, does He? Or every fifth Sunday? But God certainly does work like that at times. Amen? Amen? I mean, you can't put a clock on it and say, you know, God's going to do something incredible 2 weeks from today. We're not sovereign. We're not God. We're not the Holy Spirit. We can't predict that. We can't claim that. We can pray for things like that. Apparently, this sort of miracle where He dries up water and He holds up a body of water in flood stage and He dries it up down on the other end and He does it for hours so that people can cross. Apparently, that miracle is kind of an infrequent miracle. It's happened only twice. Crossing of the Red Sea and the crossing of the Jordan. Amen? Amen? See, Yahweh, Jehovah God's standard method of retaining His people's faithfulness is not by frequent in dazzling displays of power, but by a faithful witness and teaching of those particular acts in which he had already demonstrated his care for his own. See, the pattern of remembering, carries over all the way to the Passion Week of Christ, all the way to the institution of the Lord's Supper, all the way to Jesus' last Passover, that thing we call the Lord's Supper, Communion, Holy Communion. The pattern of remembering carries over for the church. Just this past Sunday evening, we once again continued to remember the utterly unique act of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, in the Lord's Supper. After it was over, not everybody that was here got to receive the elements. You say, Pastor, why is that? Well, because it's open communion for those that are saved and babematized. Or baptized. I like to say babematized. I don't know why, but it's just a word I've made up. Babematized. Baptized, right? Saved and baptized. Well, we had a young lady that had not been saved and baptized. Jennifer Barnes was having to tell her youngest child, you know her, Lily, that she could not receive the elements. Consequently, Lily was giving her mother that look of you're keeping something from me. I want that grape juice and that cracker. Everybody else has got the grape juice and cracker. Why can't I have the grape juice? She's giving her mother that look. You know, that, oh, poor, pitiful Lily look. I'm being mistreated, everybody. I'm being mistreated. Look what my mother's doing to me. But what has that done? The fact that Jennifer said, no, Lily, you can't participate. You can watch. You can pray. But you can't participate. What has that done? That has opened the door for Jennifer and Marco to explain to her, as much as she can understand right now, what the Lord's Supper means. And then the next quarter, we do it again. If she's here, they get another shot to tell her. In 3 more months, another shot to tell her. In 3 more months, another shot to tell her. And pretty soon on down the road, the preaching of the Word will bring about conviction in her heart. The Holy Spirit will call her, and she will respond to that, receiving salvation. Amen. A year, year and a half, 2 years, when we have the Lord's Supper, and we talk about, Pastor Steve talks about how it's open communion for those that are saved and baptized, her little face is going to light up. She's going to say, I'm on the home team, man. I know what they're talking about. We're talking about Jesus dying on the cross for sin. Amen? That's what we're remembering that tonight specifically. And we ought to remember that every day. Amen? But coming together several times a year as a congregation to do that and to just to glorify God and worship Jesus and just rest in the power of the Holy Spirit of being sealed for the day of redemption. Amen? Why is this remembrance? Why was that remembrance so important? Why is this remembrance that we participated in practice Sunday night? Why is the remembrance so important? So that we do not begin to take our Savior for granted. Amen. Or begin to think of the cross as just a piece of furniture, or begin to think of the covenant of salvation as something we can walk away from. Rather, we remember our servant, our shepherd king, our Jesus. He allowed himself, he gave himself to be nailed to the cross. He laid his life down freely to be nailed to the cross. Amen? To soak up. He soaked up. He experienced. He soaked it up. He absorbed the very wrath of God on Calvary's cross, bearing the penalty of sin for me, for you, for everybody, all of humanity. He soaked it up right there for the sins of the flock. He paid a price he did not owe because we couldn't pay it. Amen?
Amen.
We could not pay the price. So I'll end with this before we pray. Bob gives testimony of it tonight in his 3 a.m. Whataburger run. We all have a Gilgal, you know what? Our Gilgal may be the house. Our Gilgal may be the schoolhouse. Our Gilgal may be the sports team. Our Gilgal may be the workplace. Our Gilgal may be our marriage. Our Gilgal. We all have a Gilgal. And at the Gilgal, that's where the stones are standing. And friend, in the Gilgal, we're the standing stones. Amen? We're the standing stones. And so when people come by our Gilgal, it ought to look to them like, what's going on here? What's this all about? There ought to be a character in us, an integrity in us, a peace in us, a joy in us, a spirit in us, so that when people walk by our Gilgal, they say, what's going on here? This is different. And then what is that? That's our opportunity. Just like Bob shares with the guy. Bob shares with the guy at 3 a.m. at Whataburger for 20 minutes because nobody's behind him. And the guy says he's going to do what? He's going to go back to church. Because he what? He remembered. Why did he remember? Because he's a standing stone.
Yeah.
Amen? His Gilgal was the drive-thru, right? Your Gilgal? My Gilgal? Standing stones all around. Amen? Don't forget. Don't forget. Remember. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can be challenged to be outward with our testimony, to be front and center. Lord, thank you for the great story in Joshua 4 about the stones. And Lord, may we translate that testimony into our own testimony. Lord, this sanctuary here is a standing stone. And the school next door is a standing stone. And the property here is a standing stone. And Lord, we're being built up into a holy house because we are stones. And Lord, if we don't cry out, you say in your word that the stones will cry out. We want to be those stones that cry out.
Amen.
And speak up. And point people in the right direction. Father God, we thank you for loving us and saving us and for giving us an opportunity to remember. We pray the truth of who we are in Christ will come rushing back in, flooding back into us, and help us live the way and do the things we know we ought to be doing, the Word tells us to do. Thank you for a second chance, a third chance, a 15th chance. Thank you for your patience and your long suffering with us. Be with us now, Lord, as we take a few moments to pray for others. We pray you get the glory and the honor. It's in your name. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. All right.